This is a song that when I first started playing guitar, because I'm still learning how to play, that I played for Mom. I think I was about 12 years old, and after going back and relearning it, I was kind of impressed I could play like this when I was 12. It has a lot of minors in it. I think I'm getting worse the older I get, but it's a song by Diamond Rio called Mama, Don't Forget to Pray for Me, and it's funny how when you sing a song at 12, you don't know how much you're going to live that song later on, but throughout my 20s, I lived this song and made a lot of phone calls back home.
Well, hello, it's good to hear your voice. I hate to call so late, but I didn't have a choice. I'm calling you from Dallas, headed for LA. I wish I had more time to talk. There's so much to say. No, I ain't forgot how I was raised, but I'm living way too fast. It's a roller coaster ride, up and down. My new job is going great. I'm headed for the top. I should be happy, but somehow I'm not. Oh, sometimes I think the devil has got me by the sleeve. Oh, Mom, don't forget pray for. Tell me, how is the weather? Have you put the garden out? Are the dogwoods blooming out behind the house? No, I'm not sick, there's nothing wrong. Now don't wake up, Dad. I just thought of you at home and got a little sad. Oh, I ain't forgot how I was raised, but I'm living way too fast. It's a roller coaster ride, up and down. Got me by the sleeve. Oh, Mom, don't forget to pray for. Oh, Mom, don't forget to pray for me.
Out in the backyard, there's a 5-year-old cowboy that goes by the name of Wild Bill. On his broom handle horse, he rides a prairie, roping cow ponies at will. I can't help but wonder as I watch Billy playing, how long will the ponies survive when five-year-old cowboys are grown up? Will there be any horses to ride? Will the ranch house be empty up where the big eagle flies? When five-year-old cowboys are grown up, will there be any horses to ride? All the rivers, the Great Lakes are dying, most of the trees are all gone. When you ride on the prairie late in the evening, will the night birds just sing you a song? I keep on thinking as I look to the future, has mankind always been wise? When five-year-old cowboys are grown up, will there be any horses to ride? Will the ranch house be empty up where the big eagle flies? When five-year-old cowboys are grown up, will there be any horses to ride? When five-year-old cowboys are grown up, will there be any horses to ride?
This next song is kind of a testament to me. When I heard it the first time, I thought, I've got to sing this. There's so much that I strive to do in the song I already do. And I just feel blessed and privileged to be a mother, be a wife, and be able to do the things and stay in God's will. So I just hope that this touches all the mothers out there and blesses each of you.
Not planning our day around it. Our bills and staying out of debt, that's important to me. That's important to me. Opening the windows and letting in air, holding hands when we're saying a prayer, that's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. Having somebody to share my life, loving my husband and being a wife, and the very best mother I can be. That's important to me. Telling the truth and being real, my family a home-cooked meal, that's important to me. That's important to me. Planting a garden and watching it grow, keeping it country on the radio, that's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. Always having you to hold, being beside you when we grow old, and they plant us neath that big old tree, that's important to me. Mm-hmm. our dreams will take us somewhere. Still being ourselves if we ever get there. That's important to me. That's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. That's important to me. That's important to me.
God bless y'all.
Y'all know about y'all, but my mama, I had a praying mama growing up. And I also had a mean mama growing up. And I'm glad she was, because I don't know how I got a rear end left. But she, I got whoopings regularly. And I ain't never got one I didn't deserve. I want to tell you today that your kids' heads are for kissing and their rear ends for whooping. Don't hit your head. Don't hit them in the head. But I had a praying mama, and I remember one time I had this 3/4 ton pickup. It was real loud. I had straight pipes on it, and I was coming home. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd slip one over on mom, and I'd sneak in, and so I killed that truck. I went to running real fast, and I killed it about 300 yards from the house. And I coasted on in there in the driveway, and I snuck out there, and I eased the door. And I went to the front door, and I went to open that front door, and guess who opened that front door right in front of me? Was Mama. And she wasn't mad at me, but she asked me, where you been? What you doing at 4 o'clock in the morning? And I'd actually fallen asleep, and that's my excuse, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it. But I remember Mom always told me that you're old enough to make your own decisions. I've raised you to be the way you are. Just when you leave this house, if you're living here, when you leave here, tell me where you're going. I don't care where it is. If you're going to some girl's house, you're going to a bar, wherever you're going, tell me where you're going. So at least I know that if I have to come, I know which direction to head. So that's an advice you can give your kids. If you're going somewhere, tell me where you're going, so at least I know which direction to head. My mama's an angel today. I'm going to go have lunch with her right after church. Couldn't be more thankful. Thanks, Mom. Me and some of the boys were sitting around the other night. Started talking about politics and religion and love and life, and how sad it was about 9/11, and what about hell and what about heaven, and is there really angels here on this earth? Well, this one old boy, he said, man, you can take all that crap for what it's worth. See, if I can't touch it or I can't see it, I don't know if I believe in all that stuff. But here's what I told you. Are you telling me that you've never seen an angel? Never felt the presence of one standing by? No robes of white, no halo in sight. Well, you've missed the most obvious thing. Man, are you blind? Just look in your mother's eyes. I asked him, who saw you through all the pain? Smiled on the day of your birth. See, she counted all your fingers. You know what I'm talking about, Cassie? All your toes. Made sure you was whole. Megan, you ought to know who loved you first. That's right. And who came running every time you cried out? And not to mention all the things you've forgotten about. And who tried their best to teach you right from wrong. And stayed awake at night and left the lights on. Are you telling me that you've never seen an angel? Never felt the presence of one standing by. No robes of white, no halo in sight. Well, you've missed the most obvious thing. Oh man, are you black? Just look in your mother's eyes. Oh man, are you black? Just look in your mother's eyes.
How about now? All right. Well, happy Mother's Day to everybody. If you are a mother, would you please stand so we can give you a big round of applause? So if you're a mother, please stand. I'm sure there's been a lot of backsides hurting because of you gals. I know my mother. She sure didn't mind it. She always told me it hurts me more than it hurts you, but I don't know. And then I heard Audie's advice, and I liked it. It said that heads were made for kissing and backsides were made for whooping. And he says, don't hit them in the head. He forgot that second part. Don't kiss their tail either. 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you have a Bible, I hope you do, since it's church. I remember while you're looking there, I remember my mother, she told you she was going to whoop you. She didn't forget. She had a memory like an elephant. And I remember one time she was in the middle of something, took her 2 hours later, but she did come back and follow through. The only time she told me she was going to whoop me and she didn't was, you know, back in the 80s, a lot of people put their name on their belts, right? And my dad was one of those. And I had learned the word inscription that week in school for whatever reason. And anyway, I got in trouble, and she goes, James Jeffrey. And I knew when James Jeffrey could come out that it wasn't going to be a good time. And she says, you go in there and get your daddy's belt. And about the time the phone rang, and I thought, man, I'm going to be saved by the bell, right? And she's like, James Jeffrey, you go and get that. Hey, how are you doing? And I was like, phony, you know. So anyway, she finished up her phone call, and she says, where are you at? You better come back here with that belt. And I said, I didn't know which inscription of Buddy I wanted on my butt. And she got tickled, and she let me off the hook that time. But that is the absolutely only time that if she said, I didn't think she knew how to count. I'd go to the grocery store and see kids getting in trouble, and their parents would go, I'm going to count to three. Shoot, she never got past one. But God bless you. She's in the audience today, so she can testify I'm not making it up. Yeah, bless you. For many of us, Mother's Day is a wonderful day to spend with and recognize our mothers. For others, it is a day of sadness because either our mothers are no longer with us or the mothers we had weren't so good at motherhood. And sometimes we forget about that when it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day. Today can be both a happy and sad day for so many of us. And one of the greatest responsibilities and opportunities and ministries I think that we have forgotten in the church today is what it means to be a parent. Amen? It is a ministry to be a parent. That God has put these created lives that he wanted to be in his creation in your care as a parent. The reason we have seen such a decline, I believe, in our society regarding character, morals, and integrity has a lot to do with the stability, or rather the instability, of the modern family. We even have shows called The Modern Family. And the lack of proper parenting also is a reason in the home. And what I've seen just as an observer in our society is that children are parenting the parents nowadays rather than parents parenting the children. And all God's people said amen to that. And what we need to get back to is parents being the final authority under God in the home. Amen? The reason so many also struggle with a loving, protecting, nurturing view of God in later in life is that they've had no point of reference of what that looked like through the experience of having a parent. Now, I've said this a lot, and you'll hear me say it again today. Our first God template is who? Our parents. Because everything we ultimately look for in God, love, nurture, safety, protection, a constant presence, a stability, we first look for in who? Mom and dad. And if we don't have that in mom and dad, it's going to be hard for us to reconcile that with a God that we can't see. This morning, I want to look at a lady. Look at motherhood through the lens of a famous biblical mother named Hannah. She was the mother of the famous prophet Samuel, who served the Lord during the time of King David. And I hope we find some insight. And my mom, and I'll tell this story in just a little bit, was the first one who told me about this biblical passage. So if you have a Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and let me just prepare you that anytime you read out of the Old Testament, it's going to be a test to your phonics. So if you're looking for some good names, I'm going to encourage you not to pick any one of these. There was a man from Ramathaim Zophim in the hill country of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, maybe Tofu, I don't know, son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, bless him. That's not in there. Sorry, sometimes my inside the voice comes out. He had two wives. The first name Hannah, and the second Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah was childless. This man would go up from his town every year to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were the Lord's priests. Whenever Elkanah offered a sacrifice, he always gave portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to each of her sons and daughters. But he gave a double portion to Hannah, for he loved her even though the Lord had kept her from conceiving. Her rival would taunt her severely just to provoke her, because the Lord had kept Hannah from conceiving. Whenever she went up to the Lord's house, her rival taunted her in this way every year. Hannah wept and would not eat. "Hannah, why are you crying?" her husband Elkanah would ask. "Why won't you eat? Why are you troubled? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? I don't know how many husbands would ask that question to their wife. Hannah got up after they ate and drank at Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's tabernacle. Deeply hurt, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept with many tears. Making a vow, she pleaded, "Lord of hosts, if you will take notice of your servant's affliction, remember and not forget me, and give your servant a son. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut." While she continued praying in the Lord's presence, Eli watched her lips. Hannah was praying silently, and though her lips were moving, her voice could not be heard. Eli thought she was drunk and scolded her. "How long are you going to be drunk? Get rid of your wine." "No, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman with a broken heart. I haven't had any wine or beer. I've been pouring out my heart before the Lord. Don't think of me as a wicked woman. I've been praying from the depth of my anguish and resentment." Eli responded, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the petition you've requested from him. May your servant find favor with you," she replied. Then Hannah went on her way. She ate and no longer looked despondent. The next morning, Elkanah and Hannah got up early to bow and worship before the Lord. Afterward, they returned home to Ramah. Then Elkanah was intimate with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. After some time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, because she said, "I requested him from the Lord." When Elkanah and all his household went up to make the annual sacrifice and his vow offering to the Lord, Hannah did not go and explained to her husband, "After the child is weaned, I'll take him to appear in the Lord's presence and to stay there permanently." Her husband Elkanah replied, "Do what you think is best, and stay here until you've weaned him. May the Lord confirm your word." So Hannah stayed here and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him with her to Shiloh, as well as a 3-year-old bull, half a bushel of flour and a jar of wine. Though the boy was still young, she took him to the Lord's house at Shiloh, and then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. "Please, my lord," she said, "as sure as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this boy, and since the Lord gave me what I asked him for, I now give the boy to the Lord. For as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." And then he bowed in worship to the Lord there. And God's people said, amen. There's a lot of things to cover in this passage. But the first thing I want to cover to begin with is, in motherhood there is sorrow. If you don't want to shed a tear, then don't be a mama. Amen. In motherhood there is sorrow. And her sorrow was not after she had the child. Her sorrow began because she couldn't have children. Hannah felt much sorrow because a woman in that day was valued because of her ability or inability to have children. And so her inability at that time to have children brought her much sorrow. Hannah was heartbroken because it didn't seem that she could ever become a mother. Now, she wanted to be a mom in her own right, but she also wanted to be validated by her husband. Many times, those who can have children take for granted their good fortune, while others long to be mothers and never will. Amen? Let me just say this, just because you got children, don't make you a good mama. Amen? It's kind of like I saw a quote the other day, and I think I put it on my Facebook. It was a partial quote from Scripture. It says, you know, raise a child and teach a child in the way that he should go, but don't forget, the parents should go there too. Right? The parents should go there too. But many times, those who have children take for granted their good fortune, while others long to be mothers and never will. If you're worn out in the role of motherhood, always remember there are those who would gladly take your place if they could. Children can be a pain, there's no doubt. My mother can testify to that, right? But don't forget that when you get wore out in motherhood, there are many people who would long to be parents that never will. And in motherhood, there's sorrow because your child's hurts are the hurts that you carry as well. I know growing up that when I hurt, it didn't just hurt me, it hurt mom as well. And I know as a parent, whether you're a mother or a dad, that your child's hurts become your hurts as well. I don't know who wrote this, but I thought it was a quote worth quoting. The mother-child relationship is paradoxical and in a sense tragic. It requires the most intense love on the mother's side. Yet this very love must help the child grow away from the mother and to become fully independent. Have you thought of that before? A mother's love, a parent's love really, is paradoxical. It takes an intense amount of love, but you're constantly teaching the child to grow away from you so that they can become fully functional, independent adults. And we need more of those in our society today. Amen? Do you see how much of our society is impacted by the results of a godly home? Amen? And the devil is no dummy. Where is the best way to attack? The family. The second thing we see is not only in motherhood there is sorrow, but in motherhood it is a spiritual journey. I can't imagine. I've worked with many folks as a counselor that they are trying to be a wife and or a dad and a husband and a mom, all without God, and I just don't see how one could do it, and I'm not a parent. Hannah, in this passage, sought the favor of God. She saw parenting as a direct ministry under God, amen? Hannah sought the strength of God, because when you live a life of despair, you're wanting this fulfillment, you're wanting this validation. As a parent, you're wanting that role to nurture and to care for another. It takes a lot of strength. And we just don't have it as humans. We need that strength that only God can give us. And Hannah sought that. Hannah requested her son from God. Hence why his name is Samuel. And then Hannah didn't say, okay, I got him now. Thank you, Lord, and forget him. What did she do? She dedicated him back to God. Now, many people in churches will have baby dedications or things like that. And that's wonderful and that's great. And I think it's great to dedicate your child, right? to stand before your church family and be a witness saying, I want to raise my child in a Christian home with Christian principles. But it's more than just gathering up here and saying that and having a prayer. The way you dedicate your child is how you live behind closed doors when no one else is watching. Amen? That is what it means to dedicate your child to God. Dwight L. Moody says, the impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. Perhaps when you are dead and gone, your prayer will be answered. I know many heartbroken mamas, their child has gone astray, and all they have is prayer. Will you stay faithful in that prayer? Because you don't have to be here for that prayer to be answered. Amen? Billy Sunday said this, I don't believe there are devils enough in hell to pull a boy out of the arms of a godly mother. Might be a little part of the testimony here. Thirdly, in motherhood there is sacrifice. Not only is there sorrow, not only in motherhood is there a spiritual journey, but there's sacrifice. And there's no greater example of sacrifice than the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mary herself. Imagine immaculate conception, knowing this child is the very child of God and that he has a destiny. And that I love those, what we call the Christmas passages, where it said, and Mary treasured these things in her heart. Can you imagine if Mary wrote a journal, what all the thoughts and the feelings and the things that must have come in and out of her mind during the life of Jesus, what they would have been like? That would be a bestseller, wouldn't it? Just to read her journal. But imagine what sacrifice she had to go through for all of us. Because from a mama's point of view, what would she want to say? No, I don't want you to die. I want to go before you. I don't want you to die. But not only did God so love the world, but Mary had to love the world as well. Because she had to be willing as a mama to sacrifice. Even though that stuff was out of her hands, she had a sacrifice in her heart, seeing her firstborn upon that cross to save the sins of many. Hannah kept the big picture in mind, not just her temporary wants and wishes. Isn't it easy that we get what we want and then forget about our ultimate commitment to God? Hannah didn't. She kept the big picture in mind. Hannah had to let go of her son to become what God had created him to be. What a struggle and a hardship that is. How many parents have found their identity in being a parent to their child, and then what happens when their child goes off to college or goes and begins their life elsewhere? We call it the empty nest syndrome, right? Because we have found our identity in our children. Let me remind you as parents, your identity is not being your child's parent. Your identity only comes through Jesus. It only comes through Jesus. And that they are his children, and they've been put in your care for a little while, amen? But what a privilege that is to get to care for his creation. Moms sometimes have to put their desires aside for the best of their children. All mamas said amen to that. All right? It's hard stuff, ain't it? It's hard stuff to have to put your own desires and wants and wishes aside for the betterment of your child. It is a sacrifice to shape the life of a child. And even though motherhood has such sacrifices, those sacrifices become huge influences. Does that make sense? Those sacrifices become huge influences. I mean, there is no law that Congress could write and put in the books that can affect society like the influence of godly parents. If you want to change and see a change in tomorrow's future generation, then pay attention to how you raise your children today. Amen? Because those first 7 to 10 years are so impressionable, and those are the foundation that your children will live and make their life out of. Henry Ward Beecher says this, what a mother sings to the cradle goes all the way down to the coffin. And George Washington, pretty influential guy, he says, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and interesting enough, and physical education I received from her. I don't think he may be talking about jogging around the house. All right? Just throwing that out there. So in motherhood, there's sorrow. In motherhood, there's a spiritual journey. In motherhood, there is sacrifice. But lastly, in motherhood, there's celebration. Hannah returned to give thanks to God who gave her his blessing to be a mom. Notice that she didn't pray for what she wanted and God blessed her with it and she forgot God, but she came back and gave thanks and rejoiced not just in the motherhood part, but rejoiced in the God who granted her that blessing. Hannah rejoiced that her son was given in service to God, even though it was a sacrifice to her. Your child's hurts, as I said, are your hurts. But guess what? Your child's successes become your successes as well. And notice that it has to be your child's successes, not your attempt for success through your child. Does that make sense? It has to be your child's successes become your successes, not your attempt for success through your child. The very heart of a mother's celebration is that God gave her the privilege and a part of creating life, a life he wanted to exist. And with all the gender confusion and all the stuff that's out there, I think mothers have such a privilege. You guys are the first 3D printers, amen? Right? You get to be a part of creating life. You get to be a part. God created man and woman in his image, but he gave women the ability to create life. What a wonderful feature that so oftentimes our society has forgotten about. Listen to Hannah's prayer. My heart rejoices in what? Did it say motherhood? My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is lifted up, and the horn represented power. My power is lifted up by the Lord. My mouth boasts over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you, and there is no rock like our God. Do not boast so proudly or let arrogant words come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. And actions are weighed by him. The bows of the warriors are broken, but the feeble are clothed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who are starving hunger no more. The woman who is childless gives birth to seven, but the woman with many sons pines away. The Lord brings poverty and gives wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the garbage pile. He seats them with noblemen and gives them a throne of honor. For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's. He has set the world on them. He guards the step of his faithful ones, but the wicked perish in darkness. For a man does not prevail by his own strength. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder in heaven against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give power to his king. He will lift up the horn of his anointed. You see there that she is rejoicing in the God who granted her this blessing and this privilege and this ministry. Because we think of ministry as preachers and people who work at the church, but there are no greater mission fields than that which you find in the home. Amen? I close with this. Abraham Lincoln says, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And Billy Graham says, only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children. And I'm grateful for my mother who has been there, not only to be a voice of reason, a voice of Christian character, and a disciplinarian, but also an ear that I could talk to and a safe place for me to come. Because as I sang in that song, I sang that in Mother's Day when I was 12, a long time ago, and my 20s, I lived that song. And oftentimes I would call home from Nashville just to try to put myself back on some kind of steadfast ground because a young boy in an entertainment town can surely lose his way, and I surely lost mine. And so it was a mama's voice that helped corral that. And I could be sometimes a lot to corral. And the first time I heard about Hannah was not through a preacher, but it was through Mom, because she said so much of her testimony was in Hannah's testimony. Now, Hannah had a prophet. Mom had a problem. And But mom and dad weren't able to have children for 6 years, and she said that they had prayed and prayed, and they had been told that they weren't going to have children. And a visiting pastor came to their church, and they had dinner there at my grandparents' house and said, y'all are a young couple. You don't have any children. And they said, well, don't think we're going to be able to have them. And anyway, he says, well, when I ask the blessing tonight, I'll pray that y'all have children. And he says, the Lord's never turned me down yet. And 2 weeks after that prayer, she discovered that I was on the way. And now she's never asked anybody to pray for her again. So if you're wondering the results of prayer, here it is. But no, seriously, it's prayer is a powerful thing, and you mamas mean a lot to us children. And even if you're right now wondering where your child is because you don't know where they are, or maybe you know where they are and they're not the place they need to be, keep praying for them. Keep loving them and in your heart, because your voice matters more than you may realize in that moment. And so don't forget that some of the greatest world shapers are moms and dads, and it starts right there at home. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for our moms, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to get to celebrate them today. We ask, God, that you forgive us where we fail you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart so often using the voice of my mom. And thank you for giving me a godly mother and somebody who put up with all my shenanigans and mischievousness. And, Lord, was a voice that I could reach out to and hear your voice in hers. Lord, we come from an array of backgrounds, Lord, and I'm fortunate in this. And there's many today who are missing mom. They're with you right now, and we ask you, Lord, to tell them all hello. And I pray, God, that for those moms that didn't attach themselves to motherhood, I pray, God, that you would put people in children's lives, Lord, that would be that mother that you would have in their life. Lord, I pray that as a Christian community, as a Christian family, Lord, that raising children would not just be just a family thing, it would be a church thing, that everybody get to be a part of loving these kids and, Lord, hopefully giving them many points of references what unconditional love looks like, what truth looks like, what nurture looks like, what protection looks like, so that they, when they come to question who you are, Lord, that they have seen you in us. And we ask all this in your name. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.